NFL Rants and Raves. This is Stephen Meadon.
This is Jeff Ellison. Tuesday, September 25th, 2012.
Episode 8.21.
I'm calling it the morning after show.
Okay, but it's really the week three recap show.
You know, if we had a morning after pill, this would be the time to take it, would it not?
Ouch.
And to terminate what happened last night and make it as if last night didn't happen.
I see. That's one way to look at it.
It is my way to look at it. It's my preferred. Steve and I haven't had a lot of sleep for some reason. And we're going to take it out on you, and we hope you enjoy it.
Well, here's the thing. I think that the use of the morning after pill is used
as an analogy.
Is used after you do something that's fun. Last night was not fun.
Okay, that's a good point. You know what was? I'm gonna save last night from itself.
Okay.
By pointing people to the fun things about last night. Let's get those out of the way first.
Well, let's get to lots of stuff. We got 16 games
start,
to talk
though,
about.
With
we got topsy turvy.
I gotta start
league.
With the good news.
Bringing American football to the world, it's Stephen Miranda and Jeff Ellis with NFL Rants and Raves.
Good news?
This is Stephen Miranda and Jeff Ellis Unplugged this morning. We are going off script and off type because, frankly, it seems right. And I frequently, when I do public speaking and things, I will go off script.
Okay.
Occasionally, I'll take my outline that I've spent hours on, and I'll say, you know what? I trust that little voice inside my head that says, it's time to lay that aside for now.
I'm glad, because I wasn't sure we were going off script, but okay, I'm following along.
I appreciate that.
I will see where this takes us.
That's what the audience says.
And if I need to bring us back on script, I will.
Well, it's good to have somebody here, a co-host. I want to start with the good news last night out of the Seattle Seahawks victory over the Green Bay Packers 14-12.
Yes.
Here is the good news. The Seattle Seahawks are one heck of a ball team.
Okay.
They are not a top five, top ten team.
Their defense
is ferocious
fantastic.
And will keep them in many games.
Yes.
And they will push the 49ers to be good this year because look out, otherwise with the Cardinals and everything going on, the NFC West, and the Rams are not bad, if you ask me, the NFC West is a vastly improved division. That's the good news.
Okay. I was thinking that the good news was going to be the refs gave Seattle a game that it took away from them in week one against the Arizona Cardinals.
No, that's not the good news at all.
No, that isn't?
Okay. No, there's nothing else good, but that is one of the things.
Wait. Like, there's good knowing that the Green Bay Packers organization
is classy.
Are a classy football club.
Absolutely.
They came out and stood there for the extra point. It didn't have to.
Yep. And by the way, one of the guys I got this morning was in his socks.
Really?
He could not find his cleats to put back on, so he ran out in his stockings.
The team that did not, Jeffrey, the Buffalo Bills. 1 year, or the New England Patriots didn't come out. No, the Bills didn't come out. Somebody didn't come out.
One day, one time.
In recent history, within the last 10 years, a team did not come out for the final extra point. And so they just ran it and got 2 points, and, you know, that changed
right,
things.
Now, we're going to run this as seems best, and let the gifts lie where they are. Steven, there are several people listening to this podcast that like us and really don't give two nickels about the NFL that much. And those are the people that said, I'd listen to you talk about gardening and things. For those people, you need to set the stage and explain why we are doing an unusual show right now.
Well, the end of Monday Night Football last night ended with some controversy.
Controversy.
Controversy. That dude who said aluminium.
Aluminium.
I'm still rocking.
Johnny Ives from Apple Computer, aluminium.
But anyways, there was some controversy last night. The game ended 4th and 10 from the Green Bay Packer 28-yard line.
Well, that's where the play started.
I'm sorry. 24-yard line. The Seattle Seahawks had the ball, losing the game 12 to 7.
Really a dramatic game. I mean, it was a defensive struggle, and it was really an impressive game.
8 seconds left in the game. Final play. So what do? You throw it in the end zone, little Hail Mary action.
We call it a Hail Mary. You throw it up, and you just hope for a prayer. Now, and Russell Wilson launches this ball. This play started at the 23. He launched it from the 41-yard line.
Yeah, he scrambled around back, threw the ball into the end zone. Here's the thing. First thing that was egregious, Golden Tate knocks down cornerback Sam Shields. Literally pushed him, shoved him out of the way.
Well, knocked him down or just laid him out?
No, just pushed him in the back.
Okay.
Like, so basically, Sam Shields.
Imagine if
you are looking up into the sky. Here comes the ball. You're getting ready to make your leap. And all of a sudden,
you're on the ground. You're eating grass.
Why? Because Golden Tate takes
you in the
and
back.
Just literally shoved him.
Does that
and
happen?
And for him to deny it.
Oh.
Golden Tate coming out and deny it afterwards.
Makes you a little punky.
Yeah. Makes, that's 2 weeks in a row, Golden Tate. You're not doing a service to your Nate. How about that?
All right.
Then.
Have you ever noticed that Golden Tate sounds like Golden State?
By M.D. Jennings.
Not Greg Jennings. The safety, yes. M.D. Jennings.
Jennings jumps up, gets the ball. There is a picture going around the internet today. You can go and check it out.
Yeah.
Jennings is laying on top of Tate.
Yes.
With both hands on the football.
And the football, where else is the third point of the football?
In his chest.
Okay, so one hand
and
on the ball,
you
other hand on the ball.
Clearly see
ball against chest.
Golden Tate's arm.
Yes.
Nowhere near the ball. It looks like he's got Jennings in a horse collar.
I suspect at one point, Steven, he actually did feel the ball somewhere.
Okay.
I'm just saying, is it probable that he touched the ball?
Then there was a fight that ensued, a tug of war.
A scrum, if you will.
One official comes from the back line and says, incomplete, I'm signaling for the time to be done. And another official says,
arms up.
Touchdown!
Touchdown. And by the way, who had the better look at it? The touchdown guy or the incomplete guy?
The incomplete judge. He's looking right down on Jennings.
And now the situation gets...
And therefore is born Toucherception!
Toucherception is what Steven has called it. And I also like the meme that says, never before in the history of the NFL has a quarterback thrown an interception, a walk-off
interception. For a touchdown.
For his own team. Now, this being said, here's where it gets stranger, as if this isn't strange enough. Instead of the head official, and I would like to know his name, instead of the head official doing his job, because the head official isn't anywhere near the play at this point, the referee, and the referee's the one who wears the white cap. Right. The referee...
That is Wayne Elliott, by the way.
Thank you. And I'm not saying burn down these people's houses, because as I have said from day one, they're doing their best job.
Well, you
it's
should
just
know
not good enough.
That Wayne Elliott's crew is the same crew that officiated the Rams-Redskins game last week. Just so you know.
Wow, the one that Tim Ryan, the former NFL player, said was the most egregious game he's ever seen.
That's
officiated.
The one.
He nearly leaped out of the booth and went onto the field just to restore some order.
That's the one.
Okay. Will you look this up while I explain this, Steven? I heard this on at the end of the Dan Patrick Show with the What You Learn segment.
Uh-huh.
One of the officials involved was fired from the Lingerie Football League.
I believe that is true, but I will look it up.
Okay, so again, we're not calling for any action against these replacement officials. Yes, you are scabs in a labor dispute, but if the money were good enough, I would be a scab at a labor dispute in a heartbeat, okay?
Right.
So I have no issue with them as people. I have no issue with their level of experience. That is irrelevant. They were the best people available for the job. It just so happens the best people available for the job were not competent. And it's on the NFL for letting the product go forward with inferior, irresponsible, and incompetent officiating. That's on the league.
Yeah,
that is on the league. Do not hate these guys. These replacements, they're doing their best. They're doing a better job than you would. Okay? That's it. And I'm not pointing at Steven. I'm pointing at all y'all who are listening.
The
that
USA,
includes me.
USA Today is saying
reporting that
the Lingerie Football League has said in a press release that the an official from last night's game was fired by them.
Because things just aren't dumb enough right now. So the point and the thing that I wanted to...
You may lose me for the next 20 seconds while I look at some lingerie.
A lingerie football, well, anything to ease the pain, as they say. So last night...
Hello, number 17.
Yes. So last night, I'm unfortunately... I don't know if it's fortunate or unfortunate. For a journalist, the best thing that can happen is a sensationalistic story. Because then, you know what? Stories write themselves. Columns write themselves. Reporting happens by itself. So you don't have to go chase things down. You don't even have to use your brain to figure out what would be the best story because it just appears before your eyes. Okay? The day after the... I won't use that. Let's just say the day after a major politician is assassinated or something, what you're going to write about is a foregone conclusion. Yeah. Okay, on the day where not a lot happens, you still have to fill column. You still have to fill copy and text, and then you have to actually work.
Yeah.
But on a day like this, it took care of itself. I was on TalkSport Radio with Mike Graham last night, happy to be watching the game for the TalkSport folks and the folks in the UK listening to the radio who could not get to their televisions to watch the BBC's coverage. And I was providing some commentary on what's going on. And when we got to that point in the game, I was beside myself. I had already closed the game. I had already put it in the coffin, put the nails in, had yet to hammer them. But this game was essentially over, except for a Hail Mary play, and that never works. Right. And then, fortunately, I was able to get Steven in.
Well, it worked earlier in the weekend for the Detroit Lions.
So I've given you time to look at the models, and I filled the air with that. Now tap back in.
Well, I just want to say the name of the official is Craig Ochoa. Okay. Who was fired. But now...
Did they say why he's fired?
After last night's egregious performance by the officiating crew...
Yeah.
The Lingerie Football League decided it was time for them to release a statement, which they did.
Now, mind you...
At 12:28 a.m.
Now, the Lingerie Football League is nothing but soft porn for nice guys, and they are publicity whores. Right. I didn't say the girls are... I said the league
because of the LFL's perception.
The LFL.
It is
LFOL.
That much more critical for us to hire officiating crews that are competent, not only for the credibility of our game, but
the credibility of your game,
but to keep our athletes safer.
Oh my
Due
god.
Due to several on-field incompetent officiating, we chose to part ways with a couple of crews which apparently are now officiating in the NFL. We have a lot of respect for our officials, but we felt the officiating was not in line with our expectations. Now, this is a super tier, what you just said, a publicity whore league that just goes out and says, we're making money on the
hope that a girl's top will be pulled down.
Yes.
It's soft porn.
They have come out, and they have said to Roger Goodell and the rest of the world, these guys were so bad for our league, we fired them. And now they're running around officiating the highest league in the world for American football, the NFL.
$3.8 billion a year. So now, Steven, again, they're just taking advantage of the situation.
They are. They finish off by saying, we've not made public comments to date. Because we felt it was not our place to do so. However, in light of tonight's event, we felt it was only fair that NFL fans knew the truth as to who they had officiating NFL games.
Hurting each other, gotta stop. I wanted to
play. These guys weren't good enough for the Lingerie League.
Probably. That may be a made-up story simply to self-promote, Steven. So I don't want to give them a lot of credibility. I would like the one thing that people can count on is the guys from NFL Rants and Raves will do what we can to bring you the most factual, up-to-date information.
They're saying they fired them.
Yeah, but they could also say they fired me. And you know what? It's called publicity.
They were fired due to several on-field incompetent officiating.
What if that's not true? Is someone going to sue them?
I would.
Who?
If I were Craig Ochoa and they're saying that they fired me because I was incompetent officiating the lingerie bowl.
Craig's going to be a little busy right now. Okay, that's my point. So they could say anything. They could say, man never landed on the moon, and what are you going to do? They're self-promoting whores.
Well, there are questions.
Thanks, as my dad spent his entire life putting a man on the moon. But that being said, so what I want us to do in this case is Stevens
Your
articulated...
Dad, wherever he is right now looking upon us from up there is
my dad's smiling
because I just said that stupid thing. You know, no, I don't mean
he's
it.
Smiling because his boys are having fun.
Well, that's true too.
That's what brings my dad the biggest smile. So what I want us to do is to explain how we got here, what's happening, what we can expect, the reactions from around the league, and where we go from here. So let me start here, Stephen, and give me a little hit bang, if you will. Because I'm going to start with
headbang.
Where we are. Okay, so this is where we are. We've got an impasse between the NFL and how do the officials refer to themselves, Stephen?
The replacement officials?
You want air or do you want time?
Yeah, I want air.
You want air, okay. What is their union called or whatever?
The regular ones? The NFLRA?
Yeah.
NFLRA.
Yeah. So the NFLRA and the NFL... And the NFL are at a work impasse, an employment impasse.
And basically, now let's get it right. It wasn't that the NFLRA officials walked out.
They did not walk. They were locked out.
Locked them
but
out.
Their contract came to an end, Stephen, and the league allowed their contract to expire, much like the NFL players. So this is exactly the same type of situation that happened with the players a year and a half ago.
Okay.
Where basically your contract's up, and they opted to not renew the contract under the current terms because the league had significant changes they wanted to make.
Okay.
What were those changes? Well, for one thing that a lot of people don't understand is that NFL officials are part-time employees of the National Football League. That is surprising to most people. On the average, an NFL official makes about $130,000 a year as an NFL official. Nice part-time work if you can get it. They work pretty hard, I believe. And I believe that they have the game's best interest and integrity in mind. And they have gone up the ranks of usually 15 to 20 years of officiating service to be an NFL official. But it's still a part-time job. Some of these guys have jobs as lawyers. Some as school teachers. Some don't have other jobs. They feel like they can live on $130,000. I don't know how anyone can live on $130,000 a year and travel a lot. Oh, wait. Anyone could do that. That being said, one of the nice things about being a part-time official in the National Football League is you were given a pension system that was to be envied by any modern day worker. Any modern day worker knows that at best, your employer offers you a 401k option, and in a best case scenario, they will match 5% of whatever you put into it. That's what my wife has, and we are grateful.
Right.
They had a full blown old school pension system like your daddy and my daddy had, which was I pay in a dollar, they match it with a dollar. It was crazy. Those days are so gone. And by the way, how many hours a week did your dad work to have a good pension? More than 40?
Right.
Is that a yes?
Yeah.
Okay. My dad worked well more than 40. Those were reserved for full-time employees only.
Yes.
The league has long abandoned those kinds of pension systems for any employees. Any. Not part-time employees or full-time employees.
Yep.
Any employees. So they want to see that change made. The other change that the league wants made, and I do support the league in this 100%. Okay. I don't support the league what they're doing right now, but why they're making these changes. The other thing is they want another couple of squads of officials. They want a pool of officials. They've spun it so they have more regional coverage. That's BS. They want a minor league system of officiating so that when a big league official blows enough calls, they can fire their butt and put in somebody competent that we've been training.
Right.
This all reeks of the integrity of the game, does it not, Stephen?
Yep.
It reeks to the realities of the modern-day economy and the integrity of the game. The NFL officials have said, we are not about to sign any crap like that. So it's come down to, basically, should you be a full-time employee of the NFL so that you get a decent pension? Everyone says, yeah, both sides seem to agree on that. But you know what? I'm a lawyer. You know, I make $300,000, $400,000 a year as a lawyer. I ain't giving up my legal practice. So you have an impasse with a few of the officials not wanting to take full-time employment status. And that's the impasse.
Well, here's what the league,
and there, I'm
here's
I'm
what
annoyed.
The league should do, and here's what I think.
Let me just one last thing, Steve. Right. The reason I went to such lengths is because I haven't heard but one or two people explain it as I just have.
Okay.
People just talk about this problem.
Yeah.
You can't know what it is until you know what it is.
Here's the thing. The league needs to say, okay, we are going to grandfather. Just like Here's my iPhone 5. I've got my iPhone 5.
I'm so happy.
And
you're
when
welcome.
I bought it.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
I helped him facilitate the purchase.
They were like, oh, you were one of our first customers with AT&T. You're grandfathered into the unlimited plan.
I have an unlimited that I was grandfathered.
And
that I'm
I said, thank you very much. And she's like, and that will remain. And I was like,
yeah.
Better.
It damn
well
better.
Because I'm grandfathered in.
Because when I
know
signed
that
on.
Now, you don't do that anymore. But like you said, I was one of the first, and I'm grandfathered in. Now, what the league needs to do is grandfather in the officials that have been working
at Hockley's.
Yes, of the world, who have their practices and their jobs, and say, if you were part of the league starting on X date, you are grandfathered in. You can continue to work outside of the league, and your pension will be X.
Yes.
Whatever X is. There's something that's fair, that doesn't take away from those officials who have been busting their butts for the last 30 years to get to where they are right now. But anyone who comes in new, you don't get that. You have to be a full-time official, and your pension is X. Whatever that is.
And you know what that is? That's whatever the NFL gives
its
employees.
Exactly.
Because it is, how fair is it that the commissioner of the NFL's pension, and don't argue with me about how much money he makes and how lucky he is.
Right.
He is working one of the most difficult jobs in the world. But that a part-time employee would have a better pension than the commissioner of the NFL?
Then the league needs to say, what you were getting paid doesn't change if you are grandfathered in.
Exactly.
And there will be a raise of X. Anybody new coming in earns this amount.
More money because they're full-time employees.
Right, with X amount of increases, however they, whatever that is.
They're going to get a raise because they're full-time employees, and more is going to be expected, and they're going to get a pension because that's what full-time employees can get if they're fortunate enough.
And what I think is part of the problem is that the league doesn't want to grandfather in guys who have been, who's been officiating this league. Literally, the Ed Hockley's of the world have probably done 15, 20 years of collegiate level refereeing.
Just to get to this point.
And then probably another 5 years of training or doing the back judge, the side judge, officiating in the NFL before they've become head officials.
To become a head referee in the NFL is such an unbelievable privilege and such an unbelievably difficult task. It is one of the revered, and there is only, 16 of them? 18 of them? I mean, there's very few of them.
Well, yeah. I think it's 16. And I think it's time for the NFL to say, we need to give a little bit, and for the refs to say, we need to give a little bit, too. We can't have it all.
They feel like the current real officials, as I call them, the real officials feel like they have the NFL over a barrel. And in a sense, they do.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Well, Stephen, in a sense, they do. Because what we're being forced to digest.
Not the owner's sense. The owners don't sense that at all.
If the owner, well, obviously not.
Based on the release, which I'm getting ready to tell you, where the NFL supports the decision on last night's game.
Have you ever worked in a PR department or near a PR department?
Yes.
All you do is spin.
I know.
Everything, Steven.
He's a spin doctor.
I'm trying to think of something bad that happened this morning. Okay. I went out to the car with my keys that included the keys to the Rave Cave, and my car didn't start. Why? Because the battery in the remote is dead for the keyless entry to the car.
I thought all you had to do was hold it up to the button.
Assuming you can get to the button because the car was locked. And
she said,
yeah,
take
but
the
that
key.
Felt like it was going to break off. It was so flimsy, okay. The key. So I was a little worried about that. So I just went into the house and I changed for my backup fob, went out, drove here to the Rave Cave. I could spin that as Jeff's an idiot. I could spin it as Toyota is irresponsible because this car is only 18 months old. How could a battery and a remote be dead? You can spin this any number of ways.
Yeah.
The bottom line is spin is spin. It is one person's way of slanting the truth to persuade other people to ignore a bevy of evidence to the contrary.
Okay. But what I'm saying is that the fact that they spinned it the way they did means we're not changing anything anytime soon.
Dude, they're talking right now. I have not gotten confirmation from anyone, but they're
talking
right now.
Since Sunday.
No, they broke off talks on Sunday.
They were there Saturday and Sunday. They went 13 hours between the 2 days.
Correct. And then they broke off with the federal mediator. They broke off talks on Sunday with significant differences. The mediator felt it was best for the two sides to go their separate ways.
To take a breather.
It is my belief that last night after the game, the parties were called to the table again, and they will not be let out of that room until a decision is reached. And I am one of only, I think, maybe one in four at best, of people who think that a deal will get done imminently in the next several hours. Most are on your side, Stephen, who's shaking his head and saying no way, because the league is saying that this is just because the league says this is okay doesn't mean the league thinks this is okay. They know it's not okay. When you've got the likes of a Michael Lombardi, far from a guy who throws Molotov cocktails, and Michael Lombardi is coming out and saying this is disgraceful, and you have some of the most revered people in the league saying this is disgusting.
Let me give you some from last
time. Give me some.
Peter King.
Who's Peter King? He votes on the Hall of Fame, and he is the pool reporter for Super Bowl practices. That means he's the only guy who's allowed in to tell the rest of us schlep reporters what happened. That's his role.
Sports Illustrated from Peter King. One of the great disgraces in NFL history.
Jeez.
Period.
There it is.
That's it. These are some players who have tweeted out.
Okay, but they're not as revered necessarily, but still, they count.
Cornerback Patrick Peterson plays for the Arizona Cardinals, plays for someone who's in the division of the Seattle Seahawks. Come on. Can we please get the real refs back? It's destroying the game we all grew to love. He grew to love it too, just like we did.
Yeah.
It's destroying the game. Now, this is really interesting. A guy who has no ties to either the Green Bay Packers.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Seattle Seahawks is not in either of their division. Saints quarterback Drew Brees.
Oh, boy.
Ironic that our league punishes those based on conduct detrimental.
Conduct detrimental to
Whose
the league.
Conduct is detrimental now.
The conduct that is most detrimental, obviously, right now, is that of the National Football League and its ownership. Again, I don't want to throw stones at Roger Goodell. He is the employee of 31 billionaires and Jeff Ellis.
Right.
And ESPN's my friends who own the Packers.
Michael Wilbon.
Wilbon's opinionated.
What a fraud the NFL just perpetrated on the Green Bay Packers. Now, here's an NFL employee, Adam Rank, who actually writes for NFL.com. Well, guess it's time for WWE Raw, where at least I know what I'm getting from the officiating. That's the NFL.com writer.
You could say it was. Because he may not have realized what he just stepped in.
Here's another NFL writer, a reporter, Albert Breer, who retweeted.
Albert is, he can be afraid of his own shadow. I'm just saying, I like Albert a lot. But Albert's a good guy.
He retweeted T.J. Lang, the offensive lineman for the Green Bay Packers, who tweeted this. T.J. Lang tweeted this. F it, NFL. I'll just say F it because
Thank
you.
Don't
want to cuss. F it, NFL. Find me and use the money to pay the regular refs. To which Albert Breer responded, oh, you can't blame the Packers.
There you go.
It's very simple. You can't blame them for being upset.
Okay, now I posted last night after the conclusion of the game, the upside of the most outrageous conclusion to an NFL game ever will be the inevitable elimination of replacement officials. Have your say here. We have never gotten this many replies to a Facebook post, Stephen. This post went up at 9:30 p.m. Mm-hmm. Pacific time. Most all y'all were already in bed asleep, and we got 46 comments from y'all. And I will read some of them right here. Ed Frank, seeing the guys digging through the trunks to find their helmet for the last play will be a lasting impression. I'm tempted to stop watching until the real refs come back. Gary Lyons. Lucas, disgraceful end to week three. Week three, this has gone on long enough. Steve Lau, this will change the NFL. This is bigger than the Tuck rule because the Packer Nation won't let it go. Stephen Thomas supporting the classy Packers. Stephen Monroe, keep the season pure. Keep the same sorry referee so every game is ruled equally wrong. God. And then somebody said, is this really what you want in the Super Bowl? Is this really what you want in the Super Bowl? Unacceptable call by the refs. Worse ever. That was, wow. As a Packers fan, I know this loss will come back to haunt them later in the season. Boycotting the NFL completely until they get this taken care of. I will not miss the junk they're showing me right now. I'm done with the NFL for this season. Disgusted. These are fans, friends. These are fans.
Well, here,
I feel like this season is completely tarnished.
Because we will eventually have to move on. We could spend all day talking about
Well,
this.
We're at 30 minutes, Stephen. That was kind of what I thought might be ideal, was to get this off our chest. Maybe we could quickly touch on some games.
With the statement from the league that just was released just
moments ago. As a Seahawks fan, I feel dirty.
Should be.
That is Richard Marshall. I want you to hold your head up high because you, my friend, have integrity. You're not responsible for this mess.
I forgot who tweeted it, but they said any Seahawks coach or player who believes they truly won that game
is not a man
and is saying that they did with no shame. Shows that they are
not a man. Is his exact quote?
I think exactly what it was. They're not a man.
Yep,
and should be embarrassed by their actions.
Okay, now Stephen, I'm going to tee you up here. According to Nigel Twine, 5 hours ago, NFL AM says the NFL is going to make a statement on the issue.
Well, here's the statement.
Just thanks, released. Nigel, for teeing it up.
From the NFL, while the ball is in the air, Tate can be seen shoving Green Bay cornerback Sam Shields to the ground. Oh, you're just calling
Golden Tate a liar. That's called offensive pass interference.
First of all, let's just stop there. Golden Tate, the NFL just called you a liar.
Yes.
Because you on TV, when the reporter for
Live.
ESPN asked you right after the game, do you feel you got away with a push off of Sam Shields? He's like, I didn't push anybody off.
I didn't push anybody.
They just called you a liar. Okay. Because that's the first thing. That's the first thing in the statement. While the ball is in the air, Tate can be seen shoving Green Bay quarterback Sam Shields to the ground. This should have been a penalty for offensive pass interference, which would have ended the game, period. It was, however, not called, and that play is not reviewable in instant replay. So that's how they got away from that one. Should have been called, but it wasn't. Can't review it. Let's move on.
And that's factually correct.
Yes. When the players hit the ground in the end zone, the officials determined that both Tate and Jennings had possession of the ball. This is where I'm going to disagree with the statement already.
Right.
The officials did not determine that.
No,
because you have one official saying
touchdown.
It's a touchdown. The other one saying it's an
incomplete pass.
Incomplete pass
game
or
over.
Interception. We don't know if he's calling
it. We still don't know
what
he meant by his arm wave. That's which we appreciate. Right.
Under the rule for simultaneous catch, the ball belongs to Tate, the offensive player. The result of the play was a touchdown. Sure, you could say that now, but that's not clearly what was seen from the two officials on the field. Review official Howard Slavin stopped the game for an instant replay review. The aspects of the play were reviewable that were reviewable, included if one, the ball hit the ground, and two, who had possession of the ball. In the end zone, a ruling of a simultaneous catch is reviewable. That is not the case in the field of play, only in the end zone. So
They could review who has the ball. Did it hit the ground? Let's go. Referee Wayne Elliott, that's your buddy.
He's the problem.
Determined that no indisputable visual evidence existed to overturn the call on the field. But there were two different calls on the field.
And the fact that the head referee did not get together and confer
with those
and
guys.
Draw a conclusion, which is his job.
Right.
The head referee powwows with the other zebras, and they come up with one truth. And then you go to the replay official with that truth and say, help us with the interpretation.
No indisputable visual evidence existed to overturn the call on the field, and as a result, the on-field ruling of a touchdown stood. The NFL officiating department reviewed the video today and supports the decision not to overturn the on-field ruling following the instant replay review. The result of the game is final. Period. That's it.
Oh, so the game's over now?
Yeah.
I thought it was over when they finally kicked the field goal last night. I thought it was over when the guy, the officials waved his hands and said it was over.
No.
I thought it was over.
That's it.
Well, of course that's it, Steven. That's a PR statement, and that was very well written and very stressfully written, and I might add. And so a good job there to the NFL. Their PR staff has got their hands full, to say the least. I think maybe we should go the comedic route and try and bring in Kostaki to transition us out of this.
Absolutely, because we could certainly
I need a laugh.
Use some laughter.
I was driven to drink, and now I think I need a laugh. Okay, friends, if you got to hear Kostaki Konomopoulos, then that's awesome and things worked out. If you didn't get to hear Kostaki, that's because he wasn't able to take our call at that time. And we don't know. So it's an edit, and we don't know the outcome. So we're going to go forward as only we can do and trudge along. Steven,
yes.
I got in bed last night with my beautiful wife. My beautiful wife says to me, should they have started the season? My wife is a VP of a technology company, and she has this amazing ability to see through the muck and get right at the core issue.
And did you reply, touchception?
Touchception. No, I said, touching me.
Okay.
No.
Well, TMI there, but okay.
Touchception, no. I did not say.
You didn't,
but what's your answer to my wife?
There's nothing they could do but start the season.
They could have not started the season.
You start the season when you don't have players. You don't.
No, they started a season then.
When?
With replacement players.
Yeah, but that was a strike-shortened season.
And that was a farce.
And that was because the players went on strike.
But they started the season anyway.
Yes, because they're...
And it was a mess.
I watch football. I don't know.
I did too.
There you go.
That's what sick bees we are, Steven.
We are. And
that
that's
it drove
why,
me to drink.
And that's
that
why
I couldn't
say,
sleep.
Jeffrey, that you know, in 3.5 hours,
when I'm wrong,
you will be wrong.
I will be wrong because they know we will watch.
Because we're gonna watch, and everybody, and all the indecision, and all those fans, the quotes that you read, I bet you half of those people who said I'm not watching is going to watch.
Kostaki. Kostaki, you're on the air, buddy. You're on the air, and we've already said that we may have missed you, but fortunately we got you. So you're rolling. Hit it, baby.
Well, I'm on a bicycle on the Hudson River.
Get out of the river, you will drown.
You need a boat
if you're on a river.
I can barely hear you. I'm trying to hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry, dude. You know, but if you're on a river, you should be in a boat, not on a bicycle. We'll call you back another time.
All right. Sounds good. Have fun, kid.
Give me your best one about last night's debacle.
Oh, I think at this point, the NFL should replace these refs with actual zebras. I think that would be an improvement. Running amok up and down the field. What a mess.
Live zebras running amok.
Live zebras. Excellent.
All right, guys. We'll check in soon.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Go Falcons.
Don't drown. Get off the bike. Get in a boat.
You know what? You know what that Kostaki just said? You know what that reminds me of, Jeff? I just took Emma to see Madagascar 3.
Yeah. Those Eagles
and the zebra,
better.
Marty, by who's done by
I don't know
Chris
Never
Rock.
Seen any of them?
Oh, really?
I don't have little
so
kids.
So they okay. So Chris Rock is the voice of the zebra in Madagascar, and they're trying to get away from this woman who's hunting them down, and so they join the circus, Jeff.
Ah,
and he puts on this circus afro wig that's multicolored, and he comes out and goes, and I gotta thank Andrew Garda from Bleacher Report, who reminded me of this with a tweet.
Andrew, you rule yesterday. By the way, there
he
you
goes,
go
he goes the circus the afro circus afro.
Thank you for the afro circus.
And and literally that Kasaki saying zebras just reminded me, how cool would it be
as a prank to have a player?
A bunch of afro.
Where's T.O. when we need him? Where's
have
Ocho Cinco?
Have a couple players come out dressed as zebras.
We need Ocho Cinco to literally bring a zebra on the field.
The circus, the afro circus, afro circus, afro, afro.
Outside the lines today, noon Pacific time. Outside the lines, we'll be doing a 1 hour on the outrage over replacement officials.
Outrage. The outrage.
Well, look, the 60 minutes of sports, which is Outside the Lines, one of the best shows on sports, we'll be covering it. You can bet your butt that it's going to be covered on Brian Gumbel's Sports, Real Sports with Brian Gumbel this week. This has got to get fixed, and it's got to get fixed fast. You say no. That it won't. Not you believe it should, but you believe it will not get fixed quickly. I believe it will get fixed quickly, and I hate to think what would happen if I'm wrong, Steven, because I could not sleep last night, and I've honestly started questioning whether or not I've given too much of my love to the NFL.
You have. You don't even know what's going on with the Angels, do you?
Yeah, we are two games out, and I actually am rooting for the Texas Rangers to sweep Oakland.
Yeah, but you know Texas is like setting their rotation right now, getting ready for
the
playoffs.
Oakland is playing Texas right now. We need Texas to sweep Oakland.
But what I'm saying,
then we will pass them, and then we have Texas this weekend.
But what I'm telling you is,
and then the season's over, and we're probably not going to be there.
Is going to be.
But I am following my Angels, not very closely, but I am following them. And I
I hear this guy.
And I had some nice prayer time yesterday. Okay, so don't think that my life is completely given over to football.
I hear this guy's name is Fish. What was his name?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Mike Fish for the Angels.
Oh, Trout.
Trout!
Don't be so.
I knew it was a Fish.
The cover of Espen the magazine, amazing read on Mike Trout. Seriously, one of the best articles you'll find. The new Mickey Mantle.
Trout is
literally
is
the new Mickey Mantle
in line to possibly win the MVP
as well as Rookie of the Year. Rookie of the Year's done, but it's really amazing what this kid's done. I was fortunate enough to be in the locker room.
Have there ever been a rookie win MVP? Really?
Yeah, and he's like Hall of Famer.
But one of the Cabreras, the one that didn't take
heads. Right, not Melky Cabrera.
The other Cabrera is on pace to win a triple crown.
Right, so we've got
now,
some competition.
Is he still leading there?
I don't know. I don't know the stats, Steven.
You have given yourself over to the dark side.
I have, but that's not the point. Point is, Mike Trout has also ripped off 50 bases, okay? And it plays ridiculous defense where he's gone over the wall and brought back home runs at least five times.
Yeah.
Five times. So you put together the defense, who he is, and the speed, which people generally don't put into the MVP voting, and then you go, you know what, this kid's pretty good. So that being said, let's fly over the games. What are we going to do? What about our 50-cent bets?
Yeah,
we got so many things.
Do you remember what these were?
Of course I don't. Steven, when are you going to start writing down our wagers?
You were supposed to do that.
We need a listener at the end of every show where there's wagers.
You put it down.
I did not.
You don't put it down while you're typing in your game?
Well, first of all, I need to even look at the sheet because I'm on two computers.
Well, the first thing you should say is this. Possibly. I don't know if you want to.
I am the smartest man alive.
But you know what? I don't care.
I don't care.
Was so okay with losing that challenge.
Of course you were. The Eagles lost. An NFC East opponent of the Cowboys loses a game. Steven's going to celebrate. He loses a challenge game, and an NFC East team loses. That's not the Cowboys.
The fumble. Mike Vick fumble. Mike Vick fumble. Mike Vick.
Let's talk about that.
Mike Vick.
Talk to me. Don't be a Cowboys homer. No, just now put on your NFL cap.
Look, I said they were in trouble when they had 9 turnovers in the first 2 games.
Yeah, now they have 12 3 games.
You know, they won those first 2 games by some stroke of
1 point.
Yeah, 1 point. I said, look, they're 2-0, but they've got problems. And if this continues, if they continue to turn the ball over, they're not going to win many games. And as I said in my good, bad, and the ugly, they went to the desert, they continued to play with fire, and they got burned. And nice. That's exactly what happened.
Well said.
That's exactly what happened.
Zona Cardinals now 3-0. Do they deserve to be
3-0? Well, they've
based
won.
On their opponent, sure.
What do you mean based on? It was New England in New England.
Is this a top 5 team? When I put together my powerful 10. Rankings they, tonight, they will
sure
be in my top 10. They will be in my top 10.
Make sure
but I'm
going to
have a
10.
Difficult time putting them in the top. I don't know. Until I sit down to do my powerful rankings, I won't know.
Well, here's an interesting question. Since we're not really going to have time to go through every single game this week.
49ers lost to the Vikings. Oh, my God.
Talk to me about that.
They're done being gold.
I'm just telling you. I was
you longed for you asked for this you asked for me to remove them and not have them be the only gold team.
I asked for you to not have the Vikings as a Moss team. I begged you.
I pleaded with you. Of my 7 mossy green teams won.
Yeah,
you they should ask like me how be, I feel about that.
They don't like to cover. They don't like to be covered in.
There
moss.
Is no greater motivation for an NFL player than to become one of Jeff's mossy green teams.
You can't have that.
It becomes bulletin board fodder, Stephen.
Bulletin board.
It does.
I could just walking around locker room.
Where's Ellis?
Dude, Ellis put us in the freaking moss.
Son of a! I'm gonna show him. So the Minnesota Vikings mossy green. And they beat but they were, in all fairness, they were the highest of the mossy green. Jacksonville Jaguars.
They were the highest of the mossy.
You're still mossy,
green.
Okay?
Yeah.
Miami Dolphins. They're still, one of these, no, some, Jacksonville won. Who, Stevie, do you got, I'm going to give you a team. You tell me what happened, okay? Minnesota, we know, beat San Francisco.
Yes.
And Jacksonville.
They beat the Indianapolis Colts on a last-second play. 80-yard touchdown pass from Gabbert to Short.
Gabbert. Cecil Shorts.
Took his team. They kicked the field. They took the lead. Oh, my God, they're going to win the game. I can't believe it. Poor Esau. I felt bad for him.
Yeah.
And then, boom! And you guys were all celebrating. They called. They're going to Gabbert. Oh, my God, he's got a touchdown. 80 yards. Boom.
In all fairness to me, the Indianapolis Colts are just 3 places above Jacksonville.
Okay.
And just out of the Moss. So that was a game that could have gone either way. Miami.
The Miami Dolphins lost thanks to Joe Philbin icing
kicker.
Oh, my God.
That didn't
need
the Jets
icing.
Kicker went. It didn't even go wide left.
No, he blocked it. It was blocked.
Yeah.
His team blocked the field
That's
goal.
That's what I'm saying. We're not talking wide left, wide right. Your team did their job and blocked a field goal.
But you know what? It doesn't count because you called the
But
timeout.
I'm a head coach, and that means I get to do stuff like that.
And so now you have to – Nick Folk kicks it again, and they win in overtime 23-20.
Miami's still mossy. Kansas City.
The Chiefs were down 24-6. Fortunately for them –
I've seen this game again.
They were playing the worst defense in the National Football League.
That's true. The New Orleans
Saints. They gave
Saints.
Up a 91-yard touchdown run to Jamal Charles, which, by the way, is the longest rushing touchdown for the Kansas City Chiefs ever.
Which, if you take away that one run of Jamal Charles, he still rushed for 4.47 yards a carry.
And he still ran for over
149 yards. So you don't just pad your stats there, boy. Yeah. He had a great day.
He did.
But let me say this. The New Orleans Saints looked like the New Orleans Saints until the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I went back to watch the film again. I was stunned that they were good. Looked like the Saints.
In the final 19 minutes of that game, the Kansas City Chiefs outscored them 18-0, tied it on a last-second field goal by Suckup, his 5th of the game, and then Suckup in overtime kicked the 6th field goal of the game to win the game.
So the Saints were looking really good, like
they had
righted the ship.
They were.
You know what, though, a head coach is
if
good at?
If you were in Vegas and you took the Saints – minus
I'm standing
9.
In line at the cash register.
Give my money.
I love being at the cage. Don't you love being at the cage, Steven, with a ticket that's about to win?
Oh, my God. Have you seen the video of the Bellagio Sportsbook?
$150 million last night.
Last night, all the people
watching
Monday Night Football. Half of them go up in the air with touchdown signs, and the other half started chucking freaking football beer bottles and just freaking
beer bottles.
Freaking got crazy, dog.
The Bellagio? That's a nice place.
It is. It is. Apparently, they let some riffraff in there from time to time.
Wow.
Got crazy.
Now, I will set my betting slip on fire.
Yes.
That is one of my proud traditions. You've been there.
I have been
there. Give me an ashtray.
I have seen
There's one right in front of me. Give me a match. Oh, wait, I'm smoking a pipe. I'm going to set this on fire.
Give me more teams. I'll tell you what
happened. Oakland Raiders.
Oakland Raiders came back to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. Everybody thought that game was over.
Yeah.
And it's like when Darius Heyward-Bey got knocked out of the game, which was a horrible hit.
And by the way, to Trotter of Sports Illustrated, you're wrong, Jim. He says, it's not like anyone's gotten hurt because of the bad officiating.
Yeah.
Yeah, a guy could have gotten killed.
Because of the officiating, players are just being more aggressive.
Each week, incremental increases in on-field activity and violence. Increasing each week.
That hit doesn't happen, I think.
No, because you don't allow your adrenaline.
And they're saying, I can get away with this.
I know I can get away with this. And sometimes you're going to be wrong, but you know what? It's too late. That guy's dead.
Yeah, he launched himself.
In the case of Darius Heyward-Bey, fortunately, he's going to be okay.
I think the Raiders rallied around.
They
did. They had a rally
cry. The cheap shot.
They said, let's get this.
And they asked Carson if he would try.
And he did.
And he did. And so we know that Carson Palmer tries. Tennessee Titans.
Teresa, we're sorry, girl. I know it's your Pittsburgh Steelers, but
they've got problems.
There's something amiss.
We know that they've got problems. Ben Roethlisberger has never looked better.
Tennessee Titans. Jeffrey, Shades of Miracle, Music Land,
Music City Miracle. Yeah, this man
Music
talks.
City Miracle, Jeff. A 65-yard punt return. They throw it back to the dude. Renard throws it back, and he takes it, touchdown. And then later on, the same guy, 105-yard kickoff return. After the Lions had taken a 27-20 lead, he returns it 105 yards to tie the game 27-20. And then there's that Hail Mary at the end. Sean Hill, who comes in replacement of Matt Stafford
who's injured. Limping.
And he throws it, and it gets knocked down. Titus Young, senior, boom, catches it. Touchdown. We're going to overtime. And then in overtime, the Tennessee Titans get a little help from the referees, by the way. There's a 15-yard penalty. Instead of marking it off from the Detroit 44, they marked it off
Tennessee 44. What's the difference?
About
26
9 yards. 11 yards.
11 yards?
11 yards.
That's
because
Mr. Matt.
Instead of a 15-yard penalty, it was they marked off 27 yards. So 12 yards, I'm sorry. 12 yards.
12 yards.
12, they gained 12 extra yards on that play.
Was that helpful?
Yes, because then they kicked the field goal. Oh. And then Detroit marches on the field. March. Fourth and one. I'm at the 7-yard line. I kick a field goal. I tie it because in this NFL, you can still tie in overtime, and then we keep playing, and we keep playing. No, let's go for it. Oh, quarterback sneak. Oh, they didn't get it. Game over. Boom. Oh,
Press conference. You know what?
What happened?
You asked Jim Schwartz what's going
on. Jim, why did you go for it there on fourth down?
Yeah, I appreciate that question. I did not go for it on fourth down there. What you saw on the field, you haven't had a chance to see Monday Night Football yet, so fortunately nobody will be asking me about this tomorrow. But what you had there was a miscommunication with the center. I had actually told him to try and draw them off sides, and the center failed to get that message, and he'll be spoken to most vociferously.
Why does it look like Sean Hill really knew the snap was coming and really tried to do the quarterback sneak there?
You mean, and why did the rest of my offensive line surge forward?
Yes.
You know what? Guys are clearly don't get it, do you? Guys are trained when the ball is snapped to behave and function as a football team, and it's instinct. It's
may the
ringing.
Schwartz be with you.
And may the Schwartz be with you.
Thank you.
Now and forevermore.
There you go.
Amen.
I'm serious. There were a lot of games that happened on Sunday that because of what happened Monday night
will not be talked about.
No one's going to talk about them.
Finally, the Cleveland Browns. Oh, yeah, you're that bad. You're that bad.
24-14.
You're that bad.
At the hands of the Buffalo Bills.
You're that bad.
Unfortunately for the Buffalo Bills, CJ Spiller gets hurt.
You know what? But Fred Jackson's going to be back. So they'll be fine. The Bills are going to be fine. The Bills are going
to
rise.
Bears spanked the Rams 23-6.
You know, and
it's your Rams. You love those guys.
I think they're a lot better team than people give them credit for. And they will not go down to Mossy Green on my watch, Mr. Man. They may, but not yet. Most significantly, the San Diego Chargers are about to take a tumble down the powerful rankings as the Atlanta Falcons came in and spanked them. Yes. They're the new gold standard. The AFC gold standards will be the Baltimore Ravens, the Houston Texans, yes. And the NFC standard will be the Atlanta Falcons and probably the Green Bay Packers, much to the chagrin of those who live in the Northwest, although if they have a conscience, they know that I'm right.
I don't know about the Packers.
Matt Schaub has never won on Monday Night Football. He did enough to win last night, and he didn't. I don't know what else he has
you
to do.
Matt Schaub.
Aaron Rodgers has never won on Monday Night Football in five attempts.
Well, there's something wrong with that offense.
They're so
eight
not in sync.
Sacks in the first half.
But their defense is playing ferociously, and good defense can win a lot of football games. Okay, Steve is helping me set my power rankings, which is good. I could use help, and I like help. He just
hates
power
rankings.
How about the
Ravens? 31-30 victory. Torrey Smith, his brother passed away.
My gosh.
He comes out, catches over 120 yards of receptions and has two touchdowns in the game. Pretty emotional. But at the end of that game, Bill Belichick running out, grabbing the official. Does he get suspended?
Well, you know what's funny? No, he doesn't get suspended. They started handing out fines yesterday.
No. I understand fines.
They started handing out
fines. For yelling and berating officials.
And those fines,
he
did you
grabbed
see the,
him.
Did you see the dollar amount of the fines?
Like $30,000,
$20,000. $20,000, $30,000. Yeah. Are those significant fines in the NFL? Or are those slap on the wrist fines?
Those are slap on the wrist fines.
Okay, so for Bill Belichick, who's the godfather right now, he's the reigning godfather in the NFL. I think he will probably get slapped with a $50,000 fine.
I don't care that they are replacement officials. I don't care that they suck. You do not
touch an official. Period.
Touch an official.
Ever.
Period.
Never.
You don't do it. And if he does not get suspended for one game for grabbing an official, the NFL has completely become a joke.
Yeah. Well,
because you don't do it in any sport, any level, no matter what. He is an official. You cannot grab him and touch him. Ever. Period.
Okay, this just in from Peter King, literally just now. I would go blinky, blinky, blink if I was ready, blinky. Steven. But I'm not that ready. I don't even know. There it is. There's my cart. Breaking news. Oh, great. I had to unplug for Kostaki.
Oh man.
I don't even know where the plug is. Oh. Kostaki, darn you and your bike in a river, okay? There we go.
Boom, boom. Boom, boom.
This is part of Jeff's guarantee coming true. According to Peter King, SI.com. Representatives of the National Football League, including Commissioner Roger Goodell and Chief Legal Counsel Jeff Pasch, by the way, who does not smile, were locked in negotiations Tuesday afternoon with representatives of the locked out NFL Referees Association in New York City. A source with knowledge of the talks told me, I've been waiting for somebody to tell me what the heck's going on behind the scenes, and leave it to Peter King. Speaking for the fourth consecutive day and trying to end a stubborn labor dispute that has inflamed the country, the two sides did not appear close on a deal on Tuesday afternoon. One of the emerging and major reasons why a deal has been so elusive, according to the source, is that the NFL is insisting on getting some control of the officials back that it has ceded in past negotiations with the NFLRA. This includes the league's desire to have a 3-7-man officiating crews in reserve with the ability to replace either for a game or longer for underperforming current officials. That's exactly what we said. The pension issue seems to be resolved. Can we say that generally? It seems largely that that's been resolved. Yeah. And now it's that I could actually lose my job. This is the state of some teachers in America. I didn't say all teachers. Some teachers in America, you need to be able to be fired. If any of us go out and does our job horribly, we get fired. In the NFL, there is no such thing as a tenured NFL official. That is the last position that should be tenured. Do you agree, Mr. Miranda? Mm-hmm. You're being quiet.
I am. I'm reading the statement. And
what do you think about a tenured official? Should there be such a thing? This guy cannot be fired.
No, there shouldn't be tenured.
Okay, officials. That's all I was asking.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've gone into a coma here. I know you haven't slept, yeah, but you've kind of crossed over to the nappy side.
I'm reading, and there shouldn't be tenured officials there.
You said
it. This will wake me up.
Two obnoxious Americans.
Steven. Jeffrey.
Put down the Kool-Aid, but it tastes so good. We are right at the one-hour mark, Stephen. Do we want to call it?
Well, wait a minute. Have we kind of at least touched a little bit on every game?
No, of course not.
We
didn't talk
about
the Bucks and Cowboys fiasco, where the Cowboys barely won. We didn't talk about that.
Well, you know what?
Well spoken.
Yes, thank you. I hat-tipped the Cowboy defense. That defense. Look, Tony Romo, the first 48 seconds of the game, here's a gift wrap. Tampa Bay Buccaneers interception. You can have it right here at my own 20-yard line.
Maybe you saw this movie last week when we played in Seattle.
And the defense gave up a touchdown. After that, 8 straight punts.
Yeah, that's good. Good defense.
The defense won the game.
Got to get that offense figured out now.
Well, a combination of penalties. You know who is the most penalized team in the National Football
League?
The
Oakland Raiders. It is every year.
The Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, wait. You know the least penalized team in the NFL?
The Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, that's... No, there's not a problem with
that
the officiating.
Tells you there's something wrong, possibly. Oh, how about A.J. Green, Cincinnati over Washington? I mean, Washington continues to put up points, dog. It's 31 points again this week. So, but they allowed 38, so that's not good. And we didn't even mention the New York Giants spanking of the Carolina Panthers. Cam Newton has found his kryptonite. It's called the sophomore slump.
Yeah, all the sophomores yesterday
won,
and all the freshmen lost.
And all the freshmen.
Four freshmen started, against four sophomores, and the freshmen
Wilson,
all lost
Wilson
to the sophomores.
Touchception!
Touchception. He was not playing a sophomore quarterback. I'm saying where the freshmen played sophomores.
Oh, okay.
There was four of those games, and the sophomores all won.
Okay, sophomore Gabbert beat rookie.
Gabbert.
Sophomore Dalton beat rookie RG3. Where else? Those are the only two I saw.
I don't know. I just heard it. Don't make me be wrong.
All right.
Falcons, Chargers. That was a freshman. No, it wasn't. Forget that. Eagles, Cardinals, Bengals, Redskins. That's one. But you already said that,
man,
probably.
Bengals, Redskins, Jacksonville, Indianapolis.
What about Miami?
No, because the Sanchez isn't a sophomore.
Oh, you're right.
And
the other, so we got Tannehill, Luck,
RG3. Wilson played last night with the Hail Mary.
And he won, but that was against a veteran.
And who was the fifth rookie?
We should know these. Everyone stop yelling at your iPods. It's not polite.
Yell at it, please. Tell
it's
me.
It's not polite to yell
Who's
at your iPod, Steven.
Rookie,
can't
Jeff?
Hear you. The fifth rookie in the league. Wow. This is getting bad, Steven.
Fifth rookie.
You could figure it out. I know. I'm just not telling you.
Fifth rookie. Jeffrey.
This is really bad radio.
Well, you.
Now, just imagine you're weightless.
It'll come to you.
In the middle of the ocean, surrounded by tiny little seahorses.
It'll come to you.
Who's the fifth rookie?
Yeah, it's not the Titans.
Oh.
It's the Titans. No, Jake Locker's a sophomore.
No, she's a sophomore.
Am I
really that fry today?
Yeah, dude, it's been that kind of day. Let's
Oh, Whedon. Whedon lost.
Oh, Cleveland. The Browns. Whedon. It's because he's 28.
All that goes just to say there was only two such instances, Jeff.
Where
the sophomore
Steven
beat the
needs
rookie.
To get some sleep. We've got some radio things to knock out for TalkSport and Sky Sports News.
Thank you for putting up with our Jeff.
What?
I won this.
For what?
Because I said
he's holding up a quarter for those of you who don't have television on your phone, on your iPhone or MP3 player.
Because I what did I say?
You guaranteed somebody would rush for 100 yards.
You have no idea.
Steven Miranda is done. Okay.
D-U-N. I've got to go.
He's
got to
get some sleep.
Something about.
It was a rusher for 100 yards. Come on, we can't go out on a low note. We can't go out on a low note.
Well, then let's go out with a high note like this. Jeffrey, I wanted to play it. Never had the opportunity to, but I'm just going to do it now.
Let's close with this. I'm Jeff Ellis.
And I'm Steven Miranda.
And you've been listening to NFL Rants and Raves. We thank you for listening. I threw my wish in a well. Got a call from Roger Goodell. Wanna ref the NFL. I said I'm on my way. I trade my soul for a wish. Personally thank the commish. Am I prepared for this? Who cares? I'm on my way. Coaches still was holding. Ripped jersey skin was showing. Missed call, no whistle blowing. Which way is the ball going? Save me. Hey, I just met you. That play was crazy. What's his number? I'll call it maybe. It's hard to call right. Every play. What's his number? I'll call it maybe. Hey, I just met you. That play was crazy. What's his number? I'll call it maybe. And all the other boys, they try to play. What's his number? I'll call it me.